My guest at this time is House Budget Committee Chairman Tom Price, who also represents Georgia's 6th Congressional District. With less than a month now until the end of the current fiscal year, we've asked Chairman Price to update us on how the appropriations process is and is still likely to unfold over the coming weeks, and what the Republican majority will be insisting upon heading into fiscal year 2016. And Mr. Chairman, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thanks, Greg. Wonderful to be back with you.
Your committee's job is to set the framework for the appropriations process, which you did earlier this year. And one of the biggest things we discussed after you set that framework was for regular order to reign over the spending bills, meaning you take them one department or appropriations bill at a time rather than rolling them all up into one giant omnibus bill, as has been done in recent years. Where do we stand right now in terms of those bills being approved in the House and Senate?
Well, not in a good spot. And what has happened over the last 6 months since we passed our budget, 5 months since we passed the budget, is that the president and Senate Democrats have decided that they don't want to pass any spending legislation unless there's a lot more spending. Sadly, the House worked diligently on the both the Republican and Democrat side together to pass the individual appropriations bills and did a relatively good job. But then the president put out the word that he wasn't going to sign any piece of spending legislation that didn't increase spending on his favorite topics like the IRS and the EPA.
So what do you do if the Senate Democrats don't play ball? I assume in the House you can pretty much push through what you'd like to see done. But if the Senate Democrats don't play ball, do you end up holding your nose and voting for more spending than you'd like to? Or is there a way as the majority now to use some leverage to make sure that you do get this done the way you want to?
Well, we hope that our leverage works. At this point, we're left with the only option really is what's called a continuing resolution, which is simply to continue the spending levels at the current fiscal year, the 2015 fiscal year, and extend those into the fiscal year 2016, which begins on October 1. Now, hopefully we'll be able to do that, because that's what that's the responsible thing to do, and that is not to spend more and more on things that aren't working, but to wait until we have an opportunity to work with a group of senators that actually want to solve problems as opposed to just get in the way. Part of that, the problem for that, however, is that the president has said he wouldn't, he hasn't made this an absolute commitment, but that he didn't think he would sign any piece of spending legislation unless it increased spending. So the president's has clearly felt that his constituency wants him to spend a whole lot more money and expand government and expand the ability of government to infringe upon people's lives. We simply believe that's the wrong direction to head, and we will fight as hard as we can to make certain that doesn't happen.
We're talking with House Budget Committee Chairman Tom Price. Sir, obviously, he's got the veto pen, and as we can see, even on something like the Iran deal, he's probably got the votes to sustain most vetoes. So other than appealing to their rational nature in trying to get enough folks to come along with your way of approaching the budgeting process and the appropriations process, what specific tools can you employ here, given the fact that you do control the House by a margin not seen for your party since the 20s and obviously an 8-seat majority in the Senate?
Well, as you mentioned, the House is able, because it's a majoritarian institution, we ought to be able to do the responsible thing, and that is not increase spending on things that don't need to be increased, like the government wants to, that the president wants to spend on, including the IRS and the EPA. The challenge is the Senate, and the Republicans do indeed have an 8-seat majority, but it takes 60 votes to get anything to the floor in the Senate. That's the way the rules work over there.
Right.
It requires 6 Democrats to come along. Now, hopefully what will happen is that at least six Democrats will recognize that having the president shut down the government is not a wise thing to do, and we will try as hard as we can to make certain that the president isn't able to shut down the government just so he can spend more money on EPA and IRS.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, before heading out on recess, said that he was confident something would get done once lawmakers get back, because there would be vigorous bipartisan negotiations between the executive and the legislative branches. he seemed at least at that time a little more optimistic than what you're saying right now. What could happen realistically in those conversations that might give him some optimism here?
Well, there are some individuals, Democratic senators, who want to make certain that we move forward and that the president doesn't shut down the government. I think that the work that's been done by the Appropriations Committee is in both the House and the Senate have really been remarkable. The Senate has actually passed a number of pieces of appropriations legislation out of committee. Now, the Democrats haven't allowed those bills to come to the floor because it takes 60 votes to get them to the floor, but they passed out of committee, and the vast majority of them in a very bipartisan manner. So it confounds us, and it's angering and frustrating for the American people, as it is for us, that we seem to have an administration that simply refuses to take the majority will of Congress into account in working forward and trying to solve these remarkable challenges that we do indeed have.
Congressman, one funding issue that's popped up in a major way since you established your framework was the effort now to defund Planned Parenthood. There was a vote in the Senate that did not get the 60 votes necessary to advance it to a final vote. I know there's likely to be a House vote on this when you get back. But again, Senate Majority Leader McConnell was asked about this, and he simply said the votes aren't there. We're going to have to wait on this until the next president, who hopefully will have a different opinion on Planned Parenthood. What's your take on how that should be approached in this appropriations process, particularly in light of the fact that a lot of people hear that comment and say, why can't a Republican majority do more on that?
Yeah, really frustrating and angering, especially given the abhorrent, just the absolutely abhorrent information that's come out over the last number of weeks on Planned Parenthood and their seeming complicit nature in selling fetal body parts. I believe that it's highly likely that what they have done has also violated the partial birth abortion ban, and so we have asked the Attorney General to look into whether or not there's been a violation of law currently by Planned Parenthood. That's an important aspect to look at, and I also think that there's an opportunity for some legal action, judicial action, to make certain that this kind of activity that the vast majority of the American people simply think is just out beyond the pale. And what we're talking about is U.S. taxpayer dollars, hardworking taxpayer dollars being used to facilitate the sale of fetal body parts, and oftentimes in a way that's just as gruesome as it can be. So what we believe we need to do is to find whatever avenue there is possible, whether it's through the continuing resolution, whether it's through an omnibus bill, whether it's through any other piece of legislation, to try to make certain that we hold the administration to account, yes, but to make certain that that Planned Parenthood is not given the resources that they currently get, over $500 million a year, to continue this absolutely despicable act.
Last question, big picture here, Congressman. We talked a few months ago when you finished the blueprint. There was a lot of optimism about balancing the budget in 10 years and addressing some things that just simply hadn't been addressed in a long time, and a chance to get the fiscal house in order, albeit over a number of years here. When you see the Democrats do what they're doing here, what does it tell you about the long-term solvency of our government?
Well, it tells us that we need to have a larger critical mass in the United States to demand of their representatives, both in the House and the Senate, to solve the challenges that we've got, which is why at the Budget Committee we've begun a project we call Restoring the Trust for All Generations. And I encourage folks to go to our website, budget.house.gov, and look at what we're talking about. The incredible spending that has occurred is threatening the programs that many, many Americans rely upon, whether it's Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid. All of those programs are destined to go bankrupt unless Congress and the administration work together to solve them, to save and strengthen and secure them. So it means that more political activity needs to occur. The American people need to engage again as never before to hold people's feet to the fire and to hold their representatives and their senators to account and to demand of them a responsible representative activity.
Well, it's certainly a major debate to come in the coming weeks. Congressman, I know you'll be right in the thick of it. Thank you very much for your time today.